It's by your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You
the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? And are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank God for the blood this morning. Amen. I don't know where we would be without it, but I thank God for it. Amen. Well, we've got a new member of the church, and she missed her first service, but it's because she hasn't been released from the hospital yet. Little Sarah Jane Soderquist was born Friday, November the 4th, 9 pounds, 11 ounces, 22 inches long. And I told Brother Stephen he's going to have to get a bigger vehicle, I think. But we're happy to have her to be a part of the congregation with us, and I'm sure they'll be bringing her soon, and we'll be looking forward to seeing her here in service with us. But got several prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Luke Gibson, he's going to be traveling to South Africa, leaving tomorrow and not getting back until the 22nd. And then my family and I will be traveling to Florida, leaving tonight after service, and won't be getting back until the 19th. I'm preaching 7 services, 6 of them in Florida and 1 of them in South Carolina. So just be remembering us in prayer for the services. I'm leaving you in good hands. Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, and Brother Branham are going to take care of you while I'm gone. So I'm sure you'll be enjoying those services, and I'll be looking forward to hearing those when I get back. But we've got several prayer requests this morning we want to bring before the Lord. Sister Stephanie Duvall, she wasn't feeling well this morning, but glad to see she's feeling better, and just want to continue to remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Jeremiah Hawansky, not feeling well. And then we want to continue to remember Sister Estera and also Brother Gordon Tutani. Want to continue to lift them up in prayer. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Brother Trevor, would you just come this morning, lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? We serve a prayer-answering God. And so we can come boldly before the throne this morning with these petitions. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I'm happy we serve a God who's our Father as well. And that we're His children. We're blood relation to Him because of the blood. And so I know many of us with our fathers, we can just go right up, "Hey, Dad, I'd like this." I mean, my children, often, "Dad, how about this? Hey, Dad, how about..." "Well, do you want to pay for that?" "Well, no." But so it's natural for us to just go to our Father, and it shouldn't be any different for us with Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Amen. So let's just go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for Your blood this morning. We're thankful for that blood that washes us white as snow. Our garments being washed, Lord, and we're prepared, Father. Prepared for a wedding, prepared for a marriage supper. Lord, we're looking forward to that time. Our hearts are crying out through the Spirit, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Father, even this morning, we're here, Lord, to continue to prepare ourselves, to adorn ourselves with the Word of God. You've already given us everything that we have need of, Lord. It's just incumbent upon us to put it on. Lord, we're thankful for Your grace to show it to us. We're thankful for Your grace to reveal this great Word to us, Lord. As I was thinking the other day, Father, who was I? Just a young kid in the southwestern part of Minnesota. Why me out of that whole town, Lord? It's astounding to us, Lord, to think about what You have done, the grace that You've extended, the favor, Lord. Oh, Father, to reveal this Word to us. Many have heard it, Lord, and haven't seen it, but there was something on that You placed on the inside of us to be awakened, to be quickened. Father, how thankful we are. It's everything to us, Lord. It's life to us. So we bow our heads in humility before You. Father, the requests that are made known. First, we'd like to thank You, Lord. We'd like to thank You for little Sarah Soderquist, Lord. We're thankful for the blessing that you've given to our friends, our brother and sister, Steve and Jennifer, Lord. What a blessing you are to us, Lord. What a great God you are to create life in such a way. And Father, for these requests that have come before you, many not feeling well, Lord, you are the great I am, and you've already paid for this. So we just stand in faith believing for our brothers and sisters that aren't feeling well. Lord, for the traveling of Brother Luke and Brother Nathan, and Lord, you are sending them, Lord. So we know that you're with them, Lord. We're standing behind them, Lord, as our brothers, encouraging them, Lord. And may we just be in prayer for those meetings, Lord. May you begin to work on the hearts of every single person that those ministries are going to come in contact with. Lord, right now, may you send your Spirit to begin to just to prepare their hearts to receive what you're sending them through our brethren here, Lord. And Father, may you also work here, Lord, as our brother Nathan has gone. May you be with Brother Hoover and Brother Layton. May you inspire them, Lord, to speak to the people and to only say what you would have them to say, Lord, and that it would be a blessing to them and to the people, Father. We know it will be, Lord, because we know your hand is upon this church, and we thank you for it. So, Father, we invite your presence here. Come and meet with us this morning. Commune with our hearts as we look to worship and to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again, church. We're going to read Psalms, the 10th chapter this morning. Well, a portion of it anyway, from 1 to 9 this morning. And the Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. Psalm 10. We'll let the children get settled for just a moment as they're coming in. Appreciate those words of encouragement that Brother Trevor spoke about. We're God's children and we should be able to go to him. We should not be able to. I should say we should go to him. Many times, though, we're human beings. We tend to forget that Father's always there listening to us, and he knows what we have need of before we go. Amen. If we just remember, I remember somebody had asked Brother Branham one time, said, well, how do you pray to God? And he looked at him, from what I understand, people who was there said, he looked at him and said, well, but Brother Branham's answer was just like you're talking to me. Amen. See, sometimes we approach God, and we know he's a great deity, and he's all-powerful. There's no doubt about that, but he said, come unto me. He didn't say, get on your knees and crawl 4 miles over cobblestones and so forth. But he said, just come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? He's dad. So we just go to him. Now, he don't always, you know, he's like we are as human beings. You don't always get what you want just because you ask. As Brother Nathan sometimes said, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait a while. And that's the hard part many times. All right, Psalms 10 now, 1 through 9. Reading the 9th altogether. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?
The wicked and his pride deliver persecute the Lord. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined.
For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. And as for all his enemies, he puffeth at them.
He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity.
His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. God bless you, and please be seated.
Amen. I believe we've got a special this morning from Jackson Bryant, if he would come at this time. Did you enjoy that this morning? That's my nephew. Amen. Sister Tina and Sister Stephanie and Brother Anthony, I think, have a special for us. Amen. You appreciate that? Amen. I believe Sister Leah Leek and Sister Anna Pierce have a special for us this morning, too.
Thank you.
Amen. Are you blessed this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You appreciate our specials? Amen. God's good, isn't he? If the brothers would come at this time, let's sing this together. Number 675 in your hymn book. Oh, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But then I trembled at the law I had spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, his mercy there was great, grace was free, his pardon there was multiplied. Salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, that mighty gulf that God gives man at Calvary. His mercy there was great, grace was free, his pardon there it multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty. Let's stand and sing it together this morning. Oh, his mercy there was great, and his pardon there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it this morning. Trevor talked about it, and Brother Layton talked about it. I had it on my heart this morning to sing this. Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole.
Lord, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Oh, now I know. Oh, do you need him this morning? Oh, Papa God. Let's sing it again together with all our hearts. Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. You changed my Papa God. Oh, let's just worship him for a little while this morning. He's our Papa God. Lord, you saved me, and from my old life you forgave me. Lord, you have cleansed, you've made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart, and you changed my soul. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's sing it to him this morning. Oh, yes, it's Papa God. Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Then you cleansed. You made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. Changed my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. One more time together with all your hearts. Oh, Papa God. Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Lord, you have cleansed.
God bless you. St. Matthew chapter 1, if you turn with me this morning. St. Matthew chapter 1, and I was listening to a tape a while back, and Brother Man made a statement on there that I never caught before, and we'll read it later on the sermon, but got this title this morning of When Jesus Borrows Something. When Jesus Borrows Something. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But Bram says it this way, and sirs, we would see Jesus in 1962. He said, when he came to the world, he borrowed a womb to be born in. They had no cradle to lay him in, so they laid him in a box of straw. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to come into your presence again. Lord, to sing the songs of Zion and to Lord, just worship you together. Lord, how we see you changing lives and we see you moving on the scene in so many different ways. Lord, even when Satan would be present to try to hinder, yet, Lord, we realize that you raise up a standard against him. Lord, I just ask you to be with the continuation of this service. Lord, we thank you for the songs that we've heard, for the presence that we felt here with us, Lord, stirring our hearts and drawing us closer to you. Lord, as we look into the word, Lord, may it stir our hearts, Lord, and may it just give us strength for the journey. Lord, many times we face different things in our lives and sometimes, Lord, having to lose certain things or part with certain things. But, Father, we find that yet you come and restore 100-fold. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us this morning. Encourage our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. We find a familiar story this morning to start off with, and everyone to probably the youngest school child here knows the story of Jesus, how he came and was born in Bethlehem, and we tell it at Christmas, and we tell it different times, but I want to look at it from a little different angle this morning, and how that here God, the creator of heavens and earth, in one sense of the word, he owned everything. The Bible said, Paul speaking, he said that without him was there nothing that was made, and by him were all things made. You say, well, I look around and I see things that Jesus didn't make, but if you break it back down to the original, it was something that he made, whether it's plastic or wood or mortar or stone or whatever it would be. You look around, you see it, man may have taken it and formed it into a different visible, tangible item, but if you break it down to its original content, it was something that God made in the first place. And here he is, the creator of heavens and the earth. He spoke, and he would stop stars in their orbit and tell them, you hang here, and this constellation, I want you over there, and this planet, I want you over there. And he would speak solar system after solar system and galaxy after galaxy, as Brother Layton showed us in that sermon he preached a few years ago on our great God, and how it really makes you realize how puny you really are, just a little speck out here on earth. And we think, well, I'm somebody. And Brother Branham said, you know, you put a $500 mink coat on and put a $100 hat on and stick up your nose if it rained, it'd drown you. And we think we're somebody sometimes. But in the whole scheme of things, as far as our natural body, now that Brother Branham said that soul that's on the inside, that's worth 10 million worlds. But as far as this guy out here, he's not worth very much. And, you know, in the whole grand scheme of things, all the planets and galaxies and solar systems, we don't really amount to a whole lot. Just the space and time that we take up in the vastness of space and eternity. But yet here, the creator of heavens and earth, he didn't come to a nice hospital room like Brother Stephen's little daughter was privileged to be born in the other day. They didn't have a crib for him. They didn't have maybe nice little baby clothes and things. But here, the creator of heavens and earth, here he is. Paul looked at him as Melchizedek. He said, here he was without beginning of days or ending of days. Here he was without father or without mother. But yet he borrows a womb of a mother to come and be born in. He had to borrow a womb to come and be born in. He had to borrow a crib. He didn't have a crib. They took a little stable, a little manger in the stable where there was some hay, and he borrowed that so that he could be laid in. He didn't have any clothes, so they took swaddling clothes off the back of an ox to keep it from chafing from the yoke there, and he borrowed that so that he could be clothed in, his first set of clothes. But when Jesus borrows something, I want you to recognize that he pays it back. Maybe you've got some friends, and maybe you used to loan them your CDs, and you never saw those CDs again. Or maybe you used to loan them your shirt, and you never did see that shirt again. It became their new favorite shirt. Or maybe some of you sisters, a sister was over, and she fell in the creek or something. She borrowed your favorite jean skirt, and you never saw that jean skirt again. But when Jesus borrows something, he doesn't just give it back, but he gives back 100-fold. In Matthew chapter 8, a man came to him and said, Master, I want to follow you wherever you go. And he tells the man quickly, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a place that he could call home, and yet he created it all himself. But yet this womb that he borrowed for a temporary time, 9 months, he borrowed this womb that he could be birthed in. And here Mary carries the word being formed inside of her, the physical word. Now we carry the spiritual word being formed inside of us, just like Mary did. We carry deity inside of us, just in a different form than she did. We carried the spirit where she carried the flesh body of Jesus as it growed inside of her womb. And yet we find that on the day of Pentecost, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, it said they went into an upper room. And in verse 14, it says that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So he borrowed this for 9 months. He said, can I just use your womb? Can I borrow it? I don't have a womb to be born
and could I borrow yours? And the angel comes and tells her, she said, how can these things be, seeing that I know no man? She has questions initially, but then as he begins to give her a revelation of who she really is, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. I hope that we can recognize this morning who we really are. And instead of all these questions that linger and how's this going to take place and when's that going to take place, that we can recognize this morning who that we are and say, Lord, just be it unto me according to thy word, like Mary did. Now, you fast forward about 33 and a half years, and now she's seen this little child that she's raised. She tried to teach him all that she knew, her trying to teach God something. And she tried to train him the best that she knew how to raise a child. Can you imagine trying to raise God? But yet it wasn't the fullness of the Godhead bodily till he came down there to the river and was baptized. But yet it was this perfect child, no sin. He could be tempted, Brother Branham said, yet without sinning. But let me take it a step further. He said the same thing about sons of God today. He said, you can look and you can turn your head and you can be tempted without sinning. How are you going to do it, Brother Nathan? It takes a daily dying. It takes a prayed through life. Brother Bram said, it's that daily life. That's where it's at. And so Mary sees this child. See, he's raised, and maybe he was made fun of as a child because he was peculiar. He was different. Maybe as a teenager, he didn't fit in because everybody else wanted to go do their things. And there was just something about him. He had needs to be about the Father's business. Even at 12 years old, they found him in the temple, and they had lost him for a few days. There was a brother here a while back, went off and left his son. And I said, don't feel bad. At least he realized it in about a half an hour. There was a parents one time walked off and left Jesus for 2 days. So we find out here they go, and Mary thought he was with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was with Mary. And many, like many of you that have your kids outside of church, they don't really know where they're at. And here they go on a 2 days journey, and they look around. I thought Jesus was riding with you. No, I thought you had Jesus. Like a lot of denominations today, I thought we had Jesus. No, I thought we had it. I thought this group had it and that group had it. And they failed to recognize where he really was. And they go to searching. And Brother Bram said, just like that man that was dying. And he said the chaplain was there in the army. And the man had been shot up. And he was dying there, laying riddled with bullets. And he said, sir, he said, you're dying. He said, you better go back to where you found him. He said, I don't remember where I left Jesus at. He said, you better go back and pick up where you left off. And he started to trace back through his mind. And he said, now I lay me down to sleep. He had left him as a child. But yet he had to retrace his steps and find where he left Jesus. Many times we go off on our own path. Well, I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to be this, and my career is going to do this, and my family is going to do that. And we go off and leave him many times. But if you really want to get back on track, the only way to do it isn't to just say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm just going to pick up here and go. But you got to go back all the way to where you left him. Brother Bram said he stretched out his arms like a cross to Brother Billy Paul, and he said, you're headed down this direction. And he said, however far you go, you got to come all the way back and head back in this right direction. Many times people are too proud to do that. But Mary and Joseph, they went back and they find him sitting there in the temple, and he's teaching these scribes and Pharisees that their whole life was spent to memorize scripture and to know the scripture and to be able to teach others the scripture. But it was more than an intellectual conception to him. Here, the living word sat at their footsteps as a 12-year-old child and explaining to them the scriptures, and they couldn't understand. How does he know all this? A 12-year-old boy, it's because he was the word. He didn't just know the word, he was the word. I want to tell you this morning, it's not enough for the bride of Jesus Christ just to intellectually know the word, just to be able to quote it or repeat it or point back to it or tell you what date it was preached or what chapter of the Bible that it's in, but it's time that we become the living word. It's not enough just to have it up here, but the word has to come down and anchor itself into a place that we don't just know the word, but that we become the word. Mary, the mother of Jesus, here on the day of Pentecost, and she receives eternal life. Brother Bram said she got it the same way that we have to get it. He said the Catholic people want to make her almost a god and pray to her and all these things, but he said she got it on the day of Pentecost just like the rest of them did. There she walked out there speaking in tongues, stumbling like a drunk woman, but there the incubator that God had came and was formed in, he borrowed this womb for 9 months. He said, I'm going to repay my debt. I'll give you eternal life. What a repayment that it was. He borrowed her womb for 9 months, and he said, I owe you a debt, but I'm going to pay it back. I borrowed something for you, but I'm going to return it 100-fold. I'm going to give you eternal life. Luke chapter 5, verse 3, if you turn with me. Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, this wasn't a pleasure yacht that Peter had out there on the land. You can just hold your scripture there in Luke chapter 5. We'll read a little further in a moment. But Jesus began to preach on the seashore there to the crowds, and the multitudes began to press in. He recognized he could preach to them better if he got out on a boat a little ways and got a little bit of elevation. And so he comes and he asked Simon. There was many boats sitting out there in the water, maybe listening to him. He said, "Simon, I'd like to borrow your boat today. I'd like to borrow your boat. I need a place to preach." Peter could have said, "Look, this isn't no pleasure yacht. This isn't some ferry to take you from this side of the water to another side of the water. This is a workmanship. And we're out here fishing, trying to make a living. And I'm too busy to take my time and give it to you, because I've got to provide for my family. And I've got all these business plans. I've got this ship, and I've almost got it paid off. And I want to buy a bigger ship and give this ship to some of my men to use. And we're going to continue to expand our enterprise, and I've got all these plans, and I don't have time to stop and let you use this as some pleasure yacht. This is a fishing boat." Oh, it was a fishing boat, all right. He just didn't realize what he was fishing yet. And so Jesus says, "Simon, can I use your ship for a little bit?" And he enters into the ship, and he begins to teach the people from the ship. And now, as his sermon is ending, I don't know how long he preached. You know, maybe he preached a short sermon, made the people happy. Maybe he preached a long sermon, made the people mad. I don't know what he did. But when he got done speaking, in verse 4, it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering and said, 'Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets.'" Now, here he's been out there, and this is his business. He's a fisherman. He's a professional. This isn't a guy out there with a string and a hook sitting on the side just for pleasure, but this is how he provides for his family. He's known from the time that he was a little boy how to fish. His daddy, Jonas, was a fisherman, and he taught him the fishing trade, and he taught him where the best spots were and how to find the little areas where the fish would gather in their schools, and how to spot that, and where to cast the nets, and what time of day to fish, and what kind of weather not to fish in. And he knew all about his boat and all about his trade. And he was very familiar with this. And they had fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And he comes in weary and tired. He's been out all night working third shift trying to provide for his family. And they begin to bring the boat up next to the shore. And he's so tired. He's looking forward to that bed that he can go lay down in, or maybe just prop himself up on the back of the boat and get a little rest. And a man steps out there and says, "Sir, before you pull in, I know you've been out fishing long, but I'd like to borrow that boat for a little bit." He could have said, "I'm too tired to go to church. I mean to let you use my boat. I'm too tired to witness to somebody. I've worked all day. I'm too tired to spend time teaching my children about Jesus. I'm so tired from my job, and I'm so weary." You know, many people use that as a crutch today. We're just too tired, and we're too busy, and we're too fatigued. I'm glad Jesus didn't use that as an excuse. When he went up to Calvary, and he'd been beaten and spit on all night, he could have said, "Pilate, look, I just want to stop this whole thing. I'm too tired. I don't want to die and save the rest of the world today. I'm too tired. I'm too weary." I'm glad Brother Branham, when he stood there day in and day out in the prayer lines, he didn't tell the people, "Look, I see there's a few more to be prayed for, but I'm just too tired." But many of us use that as a crutch today. Oh, we're too tired. We're too busy. We've got too much going on. But Peter, here he is, tired and weary from fishing all night. They didn't have great big mechanical things and winches to drag in the nets and things like they do on these great sea fishing boats today. They would have to toss these heavy nets out and drag them back in and oar the boat a little further and cast the nets out again and bring them back in. And here they fished all night. He's probably just so slap tired. He's just looking for a bed to lay down in. And Jesus said, "Peter, but I need to borrow your boat for a little while." And now after he gets done preaching, maybe Peter tried his best to stay awake through the sermon, even though he was tired and he'd worked all night. And he sits there on the side of the boat, and the master turns to him and says, "Peter, I want you to take this thing back out, and I want you to let down your nets." He said, "Master, we've been all over this thing." They didn't have GPS and satellite imaging and things, but he knew where the fish were. And he said, "Master, we've been fishing all night. There ain't a thing in this body of water. They've gone down to the deep, or I don't know where they're at. They're hiding somewhere. but we've been all over this thing, but because it's you that say, because it's you that say, at thy word, I'll let down the nets again. He recognized something in this man that was different than anybody else. If John had told him, hey, Peter, I think we need to give it just one more shot, he would have said, you must be out of your mind. Do you not realize how tired I am and how much we've been fishing? If James had said, Peter, I just got a real good feeling about the south side of the lake over here. Let's try it one more time. He would have said, you go try it yourself. I'm going home and going to bed. But because this man spake, and as the Bible said, never spake a man like this before, there was something in his voice, a commandment in his voice, something that Peter recognized. You know what? There might not have been any fish in there a few minutes ago, but I'm willing to go back out and try again because it's him that says. You say, oh, I've tried this and I've tried that, Brother Nathan. Just seems like financially everything's gone wrong. Spiritually everything's gone wrong. Emotionally, physically, everything's gone wrong. But if he says, oh, but I've gone to the altar before, Brother Nathan. But if he tells you to go. Oh, but I've tried this before. I've tried that old-fashioned religion. It just doesn't seem like it's for me. But if he says, not because Brother Nathan or Brother Hoover or Brother Layton or whoever it would be said, but when he says, oh, he tells Peter, launch out and draw. He said, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Now, there was no fish. They'd fished all night, cast here, cast there, pulled back, nothing. Maybe get a few sticks or a few frogs or some snakes or some lizards. But now he casts in and there's so much fish that his nets begin to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, this wasn't just a little fish fry they were having. This wasn't just a little, you know, butterfly net full. But now they have so much weight from these fishes that their nets begin to break. He says, James, come over here and help me. Throw me another net under here and help my net support it that's breaking. And there's so much weight that their ships begin to sink. And in verse 11, when they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, what would your response be? Would your response be, oh my, I knew I had it. I knew I was such a talented fisherman. I'm going to go back out and do this again tomorrow. Look what I did. Look, have you ever seen such a great big catch? But they were simple enough to recognize it wasn't them that did it in the first place. It was God's grace to them. Here, they loaned him what they had, even though it seemed simple and even though it seemed insignificant. They loaned him what they had, and he returns them 100-fold. Amen. The greatest catch of fish they had ever got. Because they obeyed the master. Brother Branham says, and at that word, 1950, he says, I can just see him moving up just a little closer all the time, and the crowds got great. I can hear him get into the boat, thrust out a little from the bank, and he borrowed a ship from Simon. After he got through speaking, he said to Simon, now you launch out into the deep and let down for the draught. This is where I got the title from the sermon. Brother Branham says, Jesus never borrows nothing from you, but what he'll pay you back 100-fold. Is that right? He said, whatever, let him have your faith tonight. You say, I don't have very much faith, Brother Nathan. Just let him borrow what you have. You say, I'm not very gifted, Brother Nathan. Just let him borrow what you have. Oh my. He says again, Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. That's discouraging. They were fishermen. They just wasn't guessing. They knowed where the sea and how the moon should be and where the fish was. And they was raised on the sea, Galilean, and they toiled all night through that same water and hadn't taken a thing. But he said, Lord, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. There's the secret. You've been maybe sane through every doctor's office there is in the country. You might have been through prayer lines. You might have had your pastor praying. You might have consecrated Christians to pray. You might have tried everything that you know how to do. But tonight say, at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net right now. I'm going to stop trying anything. I'm just going to believe you right now and take you at your words. I'm going to let down the nets. And it won't be long, he said, when you're pulling till you feel the tug. And the net will be full of fishes, joy, salvation, healings, blessings from God. Why don't you let down your net this morning? Why don't you let down your net this morning? You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I've tried that before. What have you got to lose? Just let down your net again. Oh, my. Depend on him for a little while. They were dependent on him. They weren't depending on their skill. They had tried that all night. They weren't depending on their boat. They depended on that before. But now they were depending on Jesus. If we could just do that this morning. As Brother Trevor was talking about a little child depending on his father, Brother Branham said, unless you become as a child, you won't enter the kingdom. Unless you become as that little child. A little child goes to his daddy and he needs $5 to buy something, or he needs a sandwich, or he needs a drink or a glass of water. He doesn't think, oh, what if he hasn't had enough work this week, or what if he doesn't have that? He just knows that he's gone to Father before and Father's always provided for him. Hey man, I don't have to figure out, as we said the other night, I don't have to figure out all the mechanics. I just know the dynamics when I go and I ask him something. Brother Bram said he never found a time in his life that he hadn't asked him something that the Lord didn't show him eventually and answer yes, no, or wait a while. Now we expect him sometimes to answer right away, but sometimes, like with my children, I'm in the middle of something. I'm studying or I'm talking to somebody and they come, Daddy, can we do this? Daddy, can we do this? I have to tell them, you just need to wait a little bit. We don't like to wait a little bit sometimes. We just want an immediate answer. Lord, I prayed for this. I need a clean cut, direct answer. But sometimes his answer is just wait a little while. But can you depend on him this morning? Can you depend on him? He might want to borrow some of your time. Maybe he wants you to wait. He had Abraham wait 25 years for the promised son. He said, I just don't know. That's such a long time to wait. And he began to worry and to doubt. And he began to go and listen to Sarah. And he went and got Hagar. And he tried all these things on his own. But finally he realized, if I'll just yield and give God what he's wanting to borrow. He wants to borrow some of my time. What's 25 years when you and your children and your children's children and on down through are going to be heroes of the Bible and have eternal life? What's 25 years in the great scheme of things? We look at things sometimes and we want it instantaneous. Lord, I prayed last night. I'm waking up and I'm expecting that Ferrari in the driveway tomorrow. Name it and claim it. We get all these ideas. God doesn't work like that. Amen. Sometimes he does come on the scene immediately for things we have need of. Sometimes we've seen instantaneous, miraculous healings. Other times, Brother Bram said there's a difference in a miracle and divine healing. Sometimes divine healing might take a while, but once you've accepted it and you don't waver on your faith and you tell Satan, look, I may still have the symptoms, but I'm healed anyhow. It might take 3 days. It might take 3 months. It may take 3 years. But if your faith is settled and you're depending on God, I don't care how long it takes, he's going to perform what he promised. He's going to do what he said he would do. But sometimes he wants to borrow our time. Would you take some time and go help the poor? Would you take some time and go visit the lonely? Would you take some time and go do something for the elderly or the sick or the shut in? But many times, Lord, I'm too busy. I got to do this and I got to be here and I got to go there and I got to do that. He's just asking to borrow a little bit of your time. In the grand scheme of things, trust me, he'll repay it 100-fold. They said, when was I sick and you didn't visit me? When was I hungry and you didn't feed me? When I was naked and you didn't clothe me? When was I thirsty and you didn't bring me a drink of water? He said, as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. St. John chapter 6, verse 5. Here Jesus is again preaching to a large group of people. And it says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Philip begins to look at it and he does, you know, like some of us do. He tries to figure out the logistics of it. He says, Lord, we've got X amount of people. If they eat X amount of food, it's going to be X amount of money. He turned his pockets inside out. He said, Lord, you know, we don't have anything like that. And even if we did, there's not a Meijer or a Kroger or some supermarket here that we could buy it. We'd have to go way back into town. There's just no way we can provide for this group of people. And then one of the other disciples, Andrew, he comes up to him. He says, well, he says, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. He said, the good news is we did find some food, but the bad news is it's not enough to provide for anybody. You know, it's just a little boy's snack, and how can we provide for them with that little bit? But I want you to take notice this morning that little is much when God is in it. Amen. You say, I don't have the faith that Brother Branham did. Well, neither do I, but if we've got a little bit of faith, surely we could at least give that to God and let him do with it what he can. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I'm not as good a singer as Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, but if you can't do nothing, Brother Bram said, but just use a 10-string instrument and clap it together, clap your hands. He said, at least do that for the Lord. I'm not a preacher, Brother Nathan. Well, at least you can witness or pass out a tract or live a good holy life in front of your coworkers or your schoolmates, can't you? Just whatever you've got. Remember when Moses was commissioned, God didn't say, I want you to go down. I want you to go to the supply house. I want you to get some M16s and some 9mm and I want you to get some hollow points and some armor-piercing bullets because we're going to be going down and we're going to be facing this huge Egyptian army. He just said, what's that in your hand? This whole thing is just a staff. Surely, I mean, you don't want me to go down to the supply store and get an army, or you don't want me to go down and get a armor and weapons. He said, well, just what do you got in your hand? He says, just a staff. He said, that's enough. You just take that. So, right. Samson stood there, hemmed into a corner, 1,000 Philistines marching, stomp, stomp, stomp. Here they came marching in file with brass helmets and brass armor. There he stands with just maybe a robe around him, no weapon, nothing to defeat him with, no helmet, no sword, no spear, no shield. And God said, what's that that you got there, Samson? He said, the only thing I see is just this old dry jawbone. He said, that'll be enough.
Amen.
Amen. God quickened what he had. The widow woman we've been looking at on Wednesday night, she didn't have nothing but a handful of meal, but God quickened what she had.
Amen.
You say, I don't have as much money as brother so-and-so. I can't do nothing for the Lord. Well, why don't you just give what you have? I'm not telling you to give all that you have this morning. All he asked for is 10%. You can't hardly beg and plead people to give that. Oh, it got quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? I want to tell you this morning, I wasn't planning on going here, but the Lord laid it on my heart while I was preaching, so you just put on your seatbelts and buckle in tight. God don't need your money, and to be honest with you, I don't need your money. You say, you're self-sufficiently rich? No, I've got a Father that provides for me.
Amen.
And whether you pay your tithes or not, I believe God will provide for this building and he'll provide for me and my family because I've seen him do it for 5 years when I thought there was no way that it could be done.
All right.
So I'm not worried about your money, but if you want to rob your blessings from you, you just keep your money in your pocket.
Amen.
God said, prove me. He said, prove me. If I won't pour out a blessing upon you that you won't be able to receive. You say, I don't want to pay my tithes to you, Brother Nathan. Well, please, for the love of God, go find you a church where you can feel confident in giving your money to the pastor. Brother Hall, one time, a Pentecostal preacher, he went to hand his coat to a man. He had his wallet, and he said, wait a minute. He said, do you pay tithes? He said, if you'd rob God, you'd rob anybody. You say, oh, I can't afford to pay tithes. I like what my dad said. He said, I can't afford not to. I can't afford not to. I did that for a while, Brother Hoover. I owned my own company, and I was making so much money, I thought, I've got so much money going here and there, I can't afford to pay tithes. And that company went right down like this to the drain, to the bottom. It took me 2 years in God's grace to come back out of the financial nightmare I got myself in. I learned my lesson the hard way. Brother Branham talks about it. He said it's your Christian duty. Every Christian should pay tithes, but yet people still say they believe the message and don't do it.
Mm.
Oh, my. Hope you wore your steel toe boots this morning. You say, Brother Nathan, he's all about the money. Absolutely not. God will provide for me. I went up and preached for a church of 20 people the other day. Brother Jeff, my uncle, he said, we haven't got much money, not a lot of people. I said, I didn't come up here for your money. One of the greatest moves of God I've seen in a long time on that Friday night service. Why? I wasn't there for their money or for popularity or to preach to a bigger crowd. I was there because I felt like God sent me to go. Amen. I'm not here this morning for your money. I'm not here for an easy job. If I was, I sure wouldn't have chose a pastor for a profession. Amen. There's other things I could do and make a whole lot more money than what I make taking a salary here from the church. But I'm here because this is what God's called me to do. This is what God led me to do. And I believe the proof of the pudding is in the eating thereof. We've seen what God has done. Not because Nathan Bryant did something, but because God was blessing it.
Amen.
I told this the other night. I'm going to share it again for some of the people that wasn't here. We had a sister that was coming to the church, and I'm a little off topic, but I am on topic because if you give God what he asks for, he'll repay you.
Amen.
If you borrow, God borrows something from you, he doesn't need your 10%, but he just wants you to be obedient to his word. And if you give him what he asks for, he'll give you more than you ask for. Amen. Had a brother a while back, he was behind on his tithes. He had been for years, and he started coming to the church. And he said, "Brother Nathan, I got caught up on my tithes Sunday." And he said, "I went to work on Monday." And he said, "A man called me into the office." He said, "My manager and his boss was sitting in there," and I thought, "This is never a good sign." And he said, "As I got in there," he said, "the man began to talk to me, my boss's boss." And he said, "Sir," he said, "your boss is getting ready to move to a different position, and we'd like to offer you his position. It's a 20% increase in your pay." He gave God 10%. He got 20%, Brother Hoover. That was real fast turnaround on interest. We had a sister that owed some utility bills, and she couldn't afford to pay those and her tithes as well. And she told me later, she didn't tell me before, I would have probably tried to give it back to her, but Jesus didn't. The little widow put in her last two mites, and he looked at it and he said, she gave more than those that were given $10,000 and $20,000 because she gave all she had. God doesn't require all you have. I'm not asking you to sign over your cars and your homes and your life insurance policies. Just do what God told you to do. Oh my. Why, Brother Nathan? You wanting to build yourself a kingdom? No, there's some brothers that I'd like to help. There's some places I'd like to send some brothers. I'd like to get this church paid off and make it nice for you. And there's a lot of things that I'd like to do that I can't do unless you obey God. And so this sister, she said, "I put in the tithe check knowing that my utilities were going to be shut off if I did. On a Sunday," she said, "I went to the mailbox the next morning." No doubt she was expecting a mailbox full of bills. And she opens the mailbox and there's a letter from her work. And she thought, "Well, I wonder what that is." And she began to open it up. She opens it up, and in there they said, "Well, you've been doing such a good job. We want to give you a $1,000 bonus." He's still God.
Amen.
He's still a provider. We had a family, they I think they were without work at the time, and they owed $98 in tithes, and they were going to have $3 left in their checking account if they paid it. And the sister asked the brother, said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Write the check."
Yes.
Write the check. Why? Because he was dependent on Brother Nathan? No, he was dependent on God. And they wrote the check and put it in the offering plate. And I gave him a card the Wednesday night before for Christmas. And they put it in the lady's purse. And they didn't think about it. And after service, she said, "What is this?" He said, "Oh, I put that in your purse last week. Brother Nathan gave us a Christmas card." And they opened it up. And I gave him a gift card for $100. They gained $2 immediately. Wasn't a whole lot, but God still paid back some interest on it. My dad was in a garage one time praying. And he needed $100 to pay a bill. He'd been laid off work for about 6 months, and the barrel was getting a little empty, like the lady we looked at the other night. And he went out in the garage. He said, "Lord, I've got this bill that's due. I don't know how I'm going to pay it, but Lord, you know all about it." And about that time, somebody knocked on the garage door. It was our nominal neighbor from across the street. He said, "Sir, I don't know what this is about," but said, "God just laid it on my heart to give you $100. That's pretty quick turnaround.
Amen.
God knows what he's doing. God's able to provide. I've seen God time and time again come on the scenes where people didn't think. I hope Brother Jimmy doesn't mind me using him. He was laid off. How many months, Brother Jimmy, was you out of work? 4 months, Brother Jimmy was off work. And he was in need. And he was injured and he couldn't work. And workman's comp wouldn't pay for it. And he was off work for 4 months. He told me a while back, he said, "Brother Nathan, I wasn't late on one bill." Why? Because he was dependent on Nathan Bryant? No, because he was dependent on God. And God came on the scene. He had loaned God a few things of his life, laid down some of his pride, and laid down some of the things that he had in his life. Said, "God, I'm just going to give you these things." God said, "That's okay. I'm paying back with interest." This little boy here, he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he looks out, 6,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. It was probably more than that. He looks out and he said, "Lord, this is all I've got. Are you hungry? Maybe you can eat something. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to provide for anybody with my little meal. In fact, I should be in school right now. I played hooky just to come and hear you preach." Jesus said, just give me that. That'll be enough. What's in your hand this morning? You say, "I'm not a preacher, Brother Nathan." Surely you can witness to somebody or tell somebody they did a good job on their special, or that you love them, or that you're praying for them, or call them and encourage them when they don't make it to church for a few weeks. Surely you can do something. What have you got in your hand? Just give it to him this morning. Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, he started off with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. He says, go up and gather what remained. They could have said, Lord, now come on. We just had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and 6,000 people have been eating. You expect there to be leftovers? Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto what they had eaten. You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't know the situation that I'm in. You don't know my medical situation, what the doctor has said. You don't know the financial statements, what my bank account looks like. You don't know the situation at my job or my school or with my family or with my spiritual life. You just don't know. You just give it to God this morning.
Amen.
If he can feed 5,000 men plus women and children with a little boy's lunch, and you're worried about whether he can provide for you this morning, you're worried if he can come on the scene. You've seen him do it time and time and time again. We sit here this morning, not a one of us without a roof over our head that I'm aware of. If you are, contact one of the deacons after church and we'll try to do something for you. But as far as I know, everybody in this building, a roof over their head, clothes on their back, food on the table. You may not be able to go out and eat at the fanciest restaurant and drive the finest cars, and your handles on your door may not be 24 karat gold, but we're provided for, as the sisters sang this morning. We've got so much to be thankful for. We look around and see our families healthy and sitting in church and what God's done for us and where he's brought us from, and we begin to worry and get afraid. When we serve the same God that fed 5,000 plus women and children with a little boy's lunch, I don't have much this morning. I don't have much talent, Brother Hoover. I don't have that many gifts. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. I don't have a big bank account. I don't have a lot of things, but I do have more than a little boy's lunch. I've got more money in my pocket than that. I've got a closet with clothes. I don't have the finest clothes in the world, but I've got a closet full of clothes that God's provided for me. I've got shoes on my feet. I've got a vehicle I can have confidence in to drive to Florida and back, even though it's got 174,000 miles on it. It's a good vehicle that God's blessed me with. It's a stable vehicle. I've got confidence in it. Why? Because I've got confidence in the one that provided it. Aren't you worried, Brother Nathan? Here you went out full time into the ministry. Aren't you worried that what if the church goes down? What if this takes place? What if that takes place? I'm not dependent in the church. I'm not dependent in my ability. I'm not dependent in my bank account. I'm dependent on the same one that could provide for thousands with a little boy's lunch. I'm not dependent, no offense to doctors or surgeons or nurses. I've got confidence in them, and some of them are my close friends, but I'm not depending on them this morning for my health and my security. I'm dependent on Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've got some great friends around this message. God has given me the ability. I don't know why he blessed me that way, but he's given me the ability to call some of the greatest men around this message my friends. I know there's no big or little or whatever, but I'm talking about anointed men that God's done things through their ministry, and some of Brother Branham's family and some of the people that was with him and hunted with him and fished with him and some of the greatest anointed ministers on the face of the earth today. God has allowed me to call them my friends. But I'm not dependent on them for my salvation. I'm not dependent on them whether I make a rapture or not. I'm dependent on that one that gave the whole multitude food from the loaves and the fishes of a little boy's lunch. If he could do that, then he's not a respecter of person. He can provide for you. You say, Brother Nathan, I've hit rock bottom. I'm about to take my life. I'm about to lose my mind. He's still able to provide for you. Don't you give up on him. He hasn't given up on you. And trust me, you deserve it a whole lot more than he does. Look at every situation back down through your life, how he's provided for you and where he's brought you from, and times when the bank account got in the negatives, and times when you thought they were going to take your vehicles or take your houses or take this or take that, or you thought Satan was going to take your life or take your health, and then God would just lift you right up out of that through the darkness and the clouds and everything that you was facing. Maybe he tried to get you to commit suicide. Maybe he tried to get you to give up on God. Maybe he tried to get you to walk away from the message, and you was down in darkness and clouds and misery, and then God just reached down and lifts you back up over through the clouds and lets you look around and see what he's done for you and reminds you he's still the God of the loaves and fishes this morning. Why don't you give him what you have? You say, I'm too busy, Brother Nathan, to visit the sick. Why, give him 30 minutes. As you did it unto them, you did it unto him. I've got too much going on. I've got too many popular friends to visit the elderly. Why don't you do something for them? As you do it to him, you do it to God.
Right.
Brother Branham says it again in At Thy Word 1950. He says, the little boy come by one time with some fishes in his hand. There's 5,000 people standing there or more. Now the little boy had five fishes. It wasn't very much in his hands, but oh my, when he put it into the master's hands, what it could do, it fed 5,000 in the master's hands. And what little you have tonight, just give it into the hands of the master, then launch out into the deep and let down. He says again, At Thy Word 1951, he says, and Jesus never borrows nothing unless he pays it back double for what he uses. If you've got a little faith, let him have it a while. He'll make it great. That's right, like the fishes in the little boy's hand, it was just, it could have only fed him. But in Jesus' hands, it fed 5,000. It may be a little thing with you, but just give it over to him and watch him bless it and bless others with it. And what little faith you have tonight, give it over to him and he'll bless it and use it for his glory. Amen. The problem is many times we're too selfish to give whatever it is. My dad talked to a man a while back. He said, oh, we don't believe in going to church. He said, well, who are you helping sitting at home? How many people are you helping sitting back there, withdrawn and secluded and all these things? Of course, recently he called the same man. He said, I got to get off the phone. I'm going to be late for church. He said, oh, I thought you didn't believe in going to church. People change and a popular opinion changes, but I'm here to tell you this morning, the word of God doesn't change. Amen. Jesus had to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem, fulfilling Zechariah 9 verse 9. He had to borrow a furnished room to have the Last Supper with his own disciples. Oh my, but he borrowed some other things too. When he went up to Calvary, there was nothing that he had done to be worthy to die. So he borrowed my sins. He was sinless, Brother Hoover. So he had to borrow my sins. He wasn't worthy of judgment, Brother Layton, so he had to borrow my judgment and yours. He didn't have a cross that he was worthy to hang on, so he borrowed mine. He didn't have nails that were worthy to pierce his hands and feet, so he borrowed mine. He didn't have a crown of thorns. He had done nothing to deserve that type of death, so he borrowed ours so that he could take our judgment. He had none that he was deserving of to be judged, but he came and he borrowed ours. He took our sins upon him. He took our judgment upon him so that we could take his righteousness upon us. He became me that I could become him by grace. Matthew chapter 27 verse 57, it says, when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Jesus didn't even have a cloth to be buried in. Had to borrow Joseph's own clean linen cloth, Joseph of Arimathea, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Didn't have a grave that he could be buried in. The creator of heavens and earth, he borrowed a man's tomb to be buried in. But it was okay. He gave it back with anointing 3 days later. He didn't borrow it very long, Brother Jimmy. You can go there and see it. It's empty. He's not dead. He's alive. Brother Darrell's been there and seen it. Brother Anthony, different ones. Different ones have been there and seen it. Brother Ron, oh my, it's empty. He's not there. He borrowed Joseph's tomb for a few days, but he's not there anymore. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1962. He had one robe to put on. It had been made for him, wove throughout without a seam. He had to borrow a grave to be buried in, so there's none of us that bad off. He come to show what God was. Anything that's high and haughty isn't of God. God is low and humble. If he was here today, he wouldn't be on Forbes' list of 500 richest people, yet he owned it all. He wouldn't have been selected in People's Annual 100 Most Beautiful People. Isaiah said there was no beauty of him that we should desire him. Yet he created the most beautiful things that's ever been created. But when he came, he didn't come that way so everybody would look and say, oh my, what a great looking man he is. Look at his shoulders. Look at his height. Look at all this. Stooped over, his beard beginning to gray. They said, oh, you're not a man over 50. He was only 33 and a half years old, but it was the strain of his ministry, Brother Branham said. I went up to Delaware a while back, and somebody at Brother Jeff's church there, my brother Alan, he said, he's 16 years older than me, and so that makes him 50, I guess. And he said, who do you think's older, me or Nathan? They looked at him and looked at me and looked at him and looked at me. They said, I'd say Nathan's a little bit older. I said, oh my, it's just the strain of my ministry, Brother Hoover, makes me look like that. I didn't have these gray hairs before I started pastoring a church. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. If you turn with me, we'll try to close here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Sometimes we have family members that don't agree with what we believe. Sometimes it causes rifts in fellowship of friends or family members. But he said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I love my children. I'd do anything for them. I'd lay down my life for them. But I wouldn't turn away from Jesus for them. No, and I hope that they would never do that for me. I would never trade them for him. You say, oh, you just don't love your children right. Oh, no, I do love them right. Job, the one time he went down and made sacrifice for them, and here they was out there, and he said, Lord, if they've done anything, Lord, please just forgive them. And as he makes this sacrifice to his children, the whole roof collapses where they're at, and his children died. And Brother Branham said, he said, you notice he gave Job back double all that he had, his sheep and his cattle and his land, but he gave him the same amount of children. He said it was those children that was waiting for him. He'd given them to him eternal life. Oh, I don't know what I'd do if I lost any of my children before I went. But if I do, I believe God would give me grace to keep my sanity and that I'd be able to see him again on the other side. Sometimes he asks that our loved ones go on before us. Sometimes it's a mother or a father or a sister or a brother, or aunt or uncle or child, whatever it would be. And sometimes they go on before us, but you just trust in him. Hey, amen. I believe that God's got grace for us that we'll see him again. He may take that from you for a little while here, but you'll be able to spend eternity with him over there. Some of the friendships and things that we have, some of them may be injured, and there may be things that take place on this side of the river that we don't understand. Well, this one believes that way, and this one believes that way. But let me tell you, if they're one of his, and maybe they won't be bride, maybe they'll come in because they were kind to the bride, or maybe they'll come in because they were saved, or maybe they'll come in all kinds of different ways. But I believe if they were his in any way, shape, or form, that we'll see them over there. All the wrongs will be made right. You say, oh, I haven't spoken to my sister or my brother in 17 years. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You better make that right here and get that thing out of your life so you can be with them over there. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Many people, they love to look to the cross of Christ. Oh, my, Jesus died on the cross and saved me. But they don't want to hear about their cross. That's how these mega preachers get rich. They point to the cross all the time. Oh, look what Jesus did, and look what God wants to do for you, and how God wants to take care of you. But they never talk about the people's cross. They pat them on the back and say, everything's going to be fine. You just live how you want and do what you want and all this. But we have a cross to bear too. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Remember, Brother Bam said he was in that hotel and those women coming through there hardly dressed with alcohol bottles in their hands saying, whoopee, this is life. They thought they had found life. But he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live, life to him wasn't to go out and party and get drunk or do drugs or to go out and make a $1 billion. To him, life was Christ. What could he do for Christ? How could he serve Christ? He called himself a prisoner of Christ. And to die wasn't just to go to a grave out here somewhere and perish, but to die was gain. Oh my, the light that he looked at it in. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. They asked Brother Branham questions and answers, said, what does that scripture mean? He said, it might come in handy to be the friend of a prophet sometime. Amen. Might come in handy. It did for Saul there. He lost some mules and Samuel told him where they were at. It did for Welch Evans when he lost his car. It did for many. We can go on and on and on. It comes in handy sometimes. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I want you to remember, there's a scripture that I've referred to many times that says, David in the Psalm speaking, he said, remember the Lord and forget not all his benefits. There's some benefits to this message. There's some benefits to receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet. I'm not looking to be on the list of the richest people either, but I believe God will provide for me. I'm not looking for you to see me on the cover of Men's Health as the most physically fit man in America, but I believe God will take care of me. Why? Because I received a prophet in the name of a prophet. I received him for who he was. I received the message that he sent. I've seen God take care of me. I've seen God do things, even my own little ministry, which wouldn't compare to many brothers, wouldn't compare this much, but even in our own little church here, Brother Layton, in our own little ministries, we've seen God move time and time and time again, that we could stand and share testimonies for hours of what he's done. Why? Because Brother Nathan has it all figured out? No, I received a prophet in the name of a prophet. I received some benefits from God. There's benefits to this thing. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Even a cup. Brother Branham said it over in the Church Age book, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but I can find it for you if you'd like. He said over in the Church Age book, he said, there'll be some of those that'll be over there. He said that we're like a Gamaliel or a Nicodemus that stood for the elect in a time of need. I believe we're going to be surprised when we get over there, some of the people we thought for sure, oh, Sister so-and-so, she's so godly, I know she'll be there, may not even be there, or may not be in the city, maybe she'll be outside the city or everything. I thought she was such a godly woman, and down inside, pride and bitterness and malice and temper enough to fight a buzzsaw and all these different things. And then there'll be other people we looked and saw the way they lived and the way they acted, and get over there and say, well, how did you make it over here? They'll look and say, same way you did. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Maybe they were kind to the bride. Maybe they helped them in a time of need. Maybe they had a deathbed confession. I don't know what it is, but we look many times at this outward thing, and, well, I see how so-and-so acts and how this one acts or that one acts. I sure know they'll never make it. Well, who would you not want to make? I hope everybody makes it. We know everybody won't, but I can't think of anybody, my own worst enemy, if I have one. I wouldn't want to see him burn in hell for thousands of years. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. If it hadn't been for his grace, that's where I'd be. I'd be in a sinner's grave somewhere, my soul tormented in hell. But in his grace, he came and he took my judgment. He took my sins upon him. He took my weakness and my failure and my faults. And he said, I forgive you. If he can do that for us, what ought we to do for others? If he can kneel down and wash the disciples' dirty feet, they didn't have Nikes and floor shimes and all kinds of shoes like we have today. They was walking out there in open-toed sandals in manure and dirt and dust. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords get down like we will tonight at the foot washing and communion. And he gets down and he begins to wash their feet. Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I'm not worthy. He said, well, if I don't wash, you don't have any part with me. He said, well, not only my feet, but my hands and my head then too, Lord. I want to make sure I get this thing. I don't want to just be halfway saved or sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to make sure I get the whole thing taken care of. Amen. Brother Branham said, that man said, I don't want no trouble when I come down to the river. Yeah. Right. Amen. God requires things of us sometimes. Sometimes he asks us for our time. Sometimes he asks us for our pride, our ability, all of our ideas, all of our thinking, our will, our goals, our ambitions. Sometimes he asks, I just want to take those and borrow those for a while. I don't want you to use those. I'm going to take them away from you for a while. I'm going to take this from you. I'm going to take that from you. But never one time has he borrowed something that he didn't repay it back 100-fold. Amen. Many times we don't see it right away. We look down the road and we think, Lord, why did you let this happen? Why did you let that happen? His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and he understands about it more than we ever could. Brother Bram looked there at little Sharon Rose when he saw her in a grown body. He said, Lord, if she hadn't gone the way she had, maybe Satan would have got a hold of her. But God saw down the road. he saw down the road to what was best. There he stood and he said, I had too much Branham in me. He said, a rose has to be crushed to get the best perfume out of it. Many times he takes us and he crushes us and our hopes and our dreams and different things, our ambitions. Maybe things don't turn out exactly the way that we thought we would, but it's always for a purpose. And when he takes some of those things from us that we thought we wanted, many times we get down the road and think, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that it wasn't the way that I wanted. I look back so many times in my life. I had plans. I had ideas. I had ambitions. I thought, Lord, this is the way it's going to be. And this is what I want. And this is where I'm going to own. This is what I'm going to do. I look back now and I think, I'm so thankful, God, that you knew more about it than I did. Amen. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning. When Jesus borrows something, he pays it back 100-fold. What have you got this morning that he's requiring of you? Is it your time? Is it that you got so busy you can't pray the way that you know you should? Is it you got so busy that you can't have family altar with your family the way that you know that he wants you to? Is it that you got so busy with your work schedule you can't come to church the way you know you should, or you can't go visit people and encourage people the way that you know you should? What is it that he's requiring of you this morning? You say, I just don't know if I could give it, Brother Nathan. I've got this gift in my life, but I know how people in this area, they come against gifts so hard. Maybe it's one of the 9 spiritual gifts or one of the 5 ministering gifts, and I'm so torn up about it. I know God's calling me to do this, but yet I know what a sacrifice it'll be. What's he calling you to this morning? What's he calling you to this morning? If he wants you to do something, if he wants you to lay something down, or if he wants you to go and do something, he'll repay more than you can ever imagine. Amen. He's a God that pays in interest. He pays in full. Many times we look and we don't understand, Lord, how could I ever amount to anything? I'm so unworthy. I'm so inadequate. He's not looking at your ability. He's just wanting you to give what you have to him this morning. Maybe you can sing a special. Maybe he can't. Maybe you think, Lord, if I got up there and sang a special, they'd have to dismiss real fast. Maybe it's that you're somebody that just is an encourager that wants to do something for somebody. Whatever it is, it may seem so insignificant, so simple. I'm just a housewife, or I'm just somebody that calls and tries to encourage people when they're down. If you can just take that and yield it to God, whatever it is, just yield it to him a little bit. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000, what can he do through you this morning? That little boy on his way to school probably thought it was just another ordinary day. And now we look back and read of his life. Millions of people have read of his little life and his little lunch that he packed that day, or that his mommy packed for him, because he just yielded it to God. What can he do through you this morning? Amen. Let's worship him a while together. Oh, I need more of, dear Savior, that's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of you till there's no room left in me. Lord, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Father, I need more of you in me. Help me sing it this way. Oh, I need more of you. Fill me with nothing less. Fill me with nothing less. Lord, I need more, so much more of you. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. Lord, of your peace, your warmth and your love. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, I've got to have more. Lord, I need more of you. Brother Bam said, if there's a deep calling to the deep, there's a deep to respond. Oh, more of you, dear Savior. Lord, that's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more, so much more of you, till there's no room left in me. Lord, all those wasted hours, minutes, I give them to you, Lord. They're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more. Oh, yes, more. Oh, I've got to have more. So much more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, if you need more of him this morning, why don't you come around to the altar? Oh, if there's more of him, more of a desire in your heart for more of him to be had, there's more of him that you can have in your life. Lord, I need more, so much more of you, till there's no room left in me. Yes, Lord. Oh, all those wasted hours and minutes, I give them to you, Lord. They're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more. Oh, Lord, I need more. Oh, yes, Lord. I've got to have more, so much more of you in me. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, why don't you just yield to him this morning? Whatever it is that he's dealing with your heart on. Oh, why don't you just yield it to him this morning? Maybe you've tried to lay it down so many times, but may this be your morning. May this be the time. May you move on the scene in your life. Whatever it is that he's requiring of you, he'll return it 100-fold. Oh, we can just yield to him this morning. Oh, I need. More that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more you take control, the more some more room up here at the altar. Maybe anything, oh my, there's just not enough room up there for me. Why don't you turn around your seat? Why don't you make your pew an altar there? Whatever you have need of, don't let the devil rob you of it this morning. Yield it to him. He's able this morning. He's able this morning. Whatever you have need of, he's here. His presence is here. These people didn't come up here because I preached a sermon or because of something great I did. They came because God called them. God pulled him. God was dealing with him. If he's dealing with you this morning, don't let him pass you by. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, the more that I
Oh, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Let's sing it this way this morning.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender
all that I have, Lord.
Oh, Jesus,
all that I am, all I ever will be.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord.
Oh, let's surrender to Him this morning.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of
all. Oh, my. Can we just worship Him a little while together?
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all
that I am, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's in my heart. Oh, Jesus, be
Lord of all, Father, all that I am.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Is that your desire?
Oh, tried and true, Lord, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living,
yes, Lord,
a sanctuary.
Sanctuary. that your desire? A place that he could come and dwell in, he could work through. He could sanctify and cleanse and put in his service. Tried and true. Lord, and with thanksgiving, teach me to be a living sanctuary for you. One more time together. Foot washing this evening at 6:30. These that are praying can stay as long as they want to pray. Let's just worship the Lord a little bit longer together in song. How many wants to sing this morning? Oh, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, just pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. So many arrows pierce my soul from about within. But my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. And oh, I want to see. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to
tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to. My everything.